Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Behind the Blue Curtain. We're taking a break today. We're going to get away from policing and all the things in there. And we got to address the elephant in the room, the Will Smith, Chris Rock saga. And I know people are saying, well, I heard all that. I see that. I'm sick of it. That's fine. If you're sick of it, go listen to something else. We're not built on likes and clicks. Nobody pays us. We pay for this, so you can go do whatever. But what we want to do, if you want to call in and you want to give your opinion, you want to weigh in, 646-716-4621, press 1 when you can hear the show, so I know you want to speak, and we're going to bring you on. And I know for me, when I saw it, I was like everybody else. I'm initially shocked. And then I kind of went past the shock because I just processed things and like, well, they all rich. It ain't, you know, they're not going to face what I face tomorrow. Who cares? But then I looked at the cost of it. And we're going to get into some of the cost, which is why we have our guest here. But we're going to go around, let the co-host say good morning, then we're going to get down to our special guest and let him introduce himself. And we're going to go right into this. And we'll start out with Big John up top. What's up, John? Yeah, you're John, the big guy.
Yep. Good morning, everyone. Looking forward to an amazing show. Look forward to hearing from our guest, who's actually a comedian. You might have seen him on Comic Central or BET, but he's here with us tonight and this morning, and we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun with the show.
All right, Big Joe. Joe, wait a minute, Joe, you back in the turtleneck. See, Izzy can't make it this morning. Can you come at me?
Well, let me just tell you that it's 40 degrees here, it's snowing. I'm keeping my turtleneck.
We call Chicago Rescue. We got to get you up out of there, brother.
You got to have a neck for it to be a turtleneck, Joe.
There's the Ninja Turtle. Wow.
Turtle show.
Is that I've got the nerve to have all the camel? Come on, son. Come on. You really shouldn't start with me today.
No, that's just in case you go out in the woods, somebody goes, you see that hill just move? That whole hill just move.
don't believe that. He'll get chased. He'll be hanging some sunlight.
Hey, Stan.
Yo.
A crew neck would be a turtleneck for Joe.
I got a neck, though.
Hey, let's drop down. Chief, what's up? How was your week, brother? What's going on?
My week sucked. No,
it was an interesting week. It wasn't too bad. Surely didn't expect the amount of fire coming into this show today. But you guys are all over the place.
But it's good, Chief. We got the Woosah.
How's Starfleet, Joe?
Man. We're trying to, you know, I wish they were circling your ages, but there he is right there. Yeah.
Hey, let's keep
it. Hey, just since you gave up the weather update, 66 and sunny here today so far, so I think it's going to be about in the 80s, so just throwing that out there. So.
There you go.
Ready to get on topic, man.
Hey, Chief, the difference between Chicago and the Waco area is like a day like today. If you see somebody in a big coat, they're suspicious. In Chicago, they just everybody. But I want to go over right now before we get into this to our guests. And when I came up with this, you know, and this one a few times, usually through the week, all the co-hosts will talk, hey, let's talk about this. What do you think? Let's do this. But I just, you know, I kind of just came up with this and told everybody this is what we're going to talk about. And what got me in it was the cost. What the cost beyond Will Smith, Jada, or Chris Rock? Let's put that aside for a minute, of what it costs to comedians that are upcoming, that are scraping to make it, and what did it do to them? And so I called him. It's about 11:30 at night. I said, Vic, what's up? And we talked, and this guy is funny. And I just, Vic, introduce yourself, say good morning to everybody. And first off, brother, I appreciate you taking time out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right. First thing first, my name is comedian Victor Baker. I want to send a special shout-out to Stan Mason. This guy is 100. He's solid. This dude actually had my back when, you know, a lot of other people didn't have my back. So I want to salute you, Stan. And I'm just here to just talk about the, you know, the Oscars and this, everything else that y'all want to talk about. I'm all for it. I keep it 100. You know what I mean? I don't sugarcoat. S-H-I-T. So let's get it.
Okay, now here's the ground rules to the callers, to everybody listening. You know, I have my little things. We try to stay away from the N-word. I don't like it, whether it comes out of black people's mouth or white people's mouth. I don't like it. So unless it's in a video clip or the context of a quote, we try not to use it. The Lord's name in vain. That's a no deal with me. And if you don't believe in God, that's fine, you know. But for me, that's a non-starter. But I want people to be able to say how they feel. It's not necessary that you agree with any of us here. You can call this show and be diametrically opposed to everything we're saying. And we are not going to cut you off because we don't like what you're saying. See, this is not, you know, you know all these talk shows. This is not all these radio shows that you hear where they cut you off if they don't like what you have to say. We don't do that here. So as long as you're making sense and you're expressing your point and you're respectful, we'll bring you on. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's no way around it in this show. There's absolutely zero way around it. I got a video clip that I think is important to play. It's relevant to play. You are going to hear the N-word in it. You are going to hear some profanity in it. But I think it's important that we hear from this person who is expressing their opinion and who this person is that's going to express their opinion. And I'll insert that as we go on. But I'm going to tell you all up front, don't be putting a whole bunch of complaints. Well, it's foul language. It was this, that. No. You know, this 100, if, you know, you got your children listening, I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear some stuff here. You know, and we don't bleep a lot of stuff. But it's real. It's nothing you're not hearing in the barbershops and the beauty parlors. And some folks may go, well, I never hear that language in my beauty parlor. Well, you don't go to the one that you know, a lot of other people go to, or your barbershop. So, you know, that's just the way it is. Victor is a comedian, but he has a very serious side. And to all comedy, there has to be an amount of truth. So you may hear something, and if you're uncomfortable with the way he says what he says, I frankly don't care, because most comedians speak from a place of experience. So you just gonna have to swallow that and enjoy the show, or choose to leave the show and not listen to it, whichever one you want to do. But let's start at the beginning. You know, a couple of years ago, the Oscars got boycotted because there weren't enough black people being nominated or involved in the backdrop of the Oscars. That came predominantly from Will Smith's wife. So when she did that and put that out there, Chris Rock did make some remarks. He did say, well, you know, if you don't want to come, don't come. Basically, you weren't invited, whatever the case may be. But that was her beef. And this Oscars is particularly to a lot of black people who understand how things are put together. It was an all-black production company. The Oscars, to their credit, listened to Jada and said, okay, we're going to be more inclusive. And they did it to the max. And for her husband, and I trust y'all, I was a Will Smith fan, you know, but for him to walk up there and do what he did at Stan's opinion, her direction, because of the side eye, I did not get to see Samuel Jackson get his Oscar from Denzel Washington, because it took 30 minutes to clean up the Will Smith, Chris Rock debacle. We didn't get to see Questlove get presented because of Will Smith. You know, the fallback on the Williams family to invoke their father and, well, you know, I'm the crazy dad, the crazy dad. How did they feel? This is bigger than Will Smith. For me, I just feel, and I'm not an Oscar person, and I ain't famous or nothing like that, but to me, if you really wanted to make an elegant statement, your wife is offended, she's mad. When you get up and act a fool, she's going to meet more criticism now. Why didn't you just get up and leave? You could have got your Oscar in the mail. Maybe Amazon brings it, USPS or whoever drops it off. You're still going to get it. But that would have sent a statement. That would have made a bold statement as to why did you leave. I didn't like what Chris Rock said. Then the focus would be on Chris. You know, I'm not – Will made his decision. I'm just offering, you know, what I would have done. My wife is white. We go plenty of places to catch a side eye, or she sees it more than I do because I'm, you know, so used to it. But, you know, I got a choice. I can get up and address that person and look like a fool, bring further embarrassment on her, or I can say, let's just leave. Everybody's going to have their opinions on it. But let's go around the table before we get to Vic, because, Vic, I want you to talk about how this personally hits you.
Well, okay. It actually hit me because first thing first, you know, I'm not mainstream, you know, I'm still trying to make it, right? So it's like I'm getting mute before I even make it. And that being said, you know, it's like, okay, I really don't know what to say, you know what I mean, like for jokes now, because these days people can't take jokes. I mean, it's actually kind of scary to be a comedian now, and I say that because, you know, it's like a beef right now. You know, it's a beef. It's like the Crips and Bloods. I hate to bring it up, but it's like Crips and Bloods. To me, you know, I hate that it happened, whatever. First thing first, you know, I like Chris Rock and I like Wilson, right? And I like Jalen, you know. But that being said, I think Will Smith actually went by it wrong, because he was laughing at the joke at first, right? You know, he was laughing, like he was, you know, just jolly. You know, he was just smiling with good energy because it wasn't serious to me. You know, everybody have a thing. So sort of his wife gave him that look like, what would Tupac do?
Mm-hmm.
That's when he was like, oh, shit. So that made him get up, react the way he reacted. He didn't react just because that's his wife and somebody, you know, talking about his wife's illness and stuff like that. I don't believe that was the reason why he did it. To me, he did it because he was more embarrassed, more hurt, more traumatized because of her, you know. She the one that's bringing him down, my opinion. Everybody has a opinion. So she's bringing him down. No. As a matter of fact, she brought him down, you know. I mean, because, you know, let's be real. That's not his character. You know, he went out of character doing that. So to me, you know, it's like, I don't say I'm scared to speak my mind or like that, because I don't always speak my mind. So if I get canceled before I even make mainstream, well, guess what? I guess it wasn't for me. But, you know, I didn't want to just put that out there because, you know, it's sad that we can't even laugh and crack jokes and get along or whatever. And I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to let everybody else talk, whatever the case may be. Okay. As a comedian, you know, we're not going to target nobody who's like hella disabled, on crutches, on, you know, riding a wheelchair, cancer, you know, just homelessness, or nothing like that. That's something that, you know, we're not going to target that because it's just not right, right? So that's something that we're not going to do, you know, we're not going to target it. But that being said, if she felt some type of way by her condition in the front row, where everybody is a suspect, you know, everybody is a target in the front row, everybody, including me, right? You know, if I'm in a comedy show and, you know, I'm chilling and stuff, and then, you know, this person talk about me or talk about my old lady, it's like, it's a comedy show. I can't get mad because of that. And, you know, and it's crazy because she could have wore a wig. You know, they make wigs for that condition or whatever. You know, she's not ugly. She's a beautiful lady. So put on a wig. Enjoy yourself. Live life. We live every day and we die once. So with that being said, just live and stop being full of drama and so evil. But to me, go ahead.
Vic, you said something that I want to hone in on this because I don't want the, what you just said for who are not listening. I don't care if you're black, you're white, you're fat, you're skinny, you're gay, you're straight. I don't care what you are, mixed marriage, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me when I tell you this. When you go to a comedy show and you buy a seat in that first four or five rows, depending on how big the theater is, you pay more money, yes. But you are in the target zone. You're there. You paid to be up front in the show. You are now part of the show, and you paid to be there. That's, I'm sorry, and I understand the Oscars was not a comedy show, but the further up front you're seated, the higher up on that pedestal you are, because the comedians are not just talking to you or the Academy, because there were more people watching the Oscars than were at the Oscars. So the comedians are looking at their career, and they're speaking for what the average person who can't afford to go to the Oscars or even to go out. And they're trying to relate and boost their career, as everybody is. So when you pay to be up front at a comedy show and you decide that's what you want to do, spend, you want the $150 or $200 ticket instead of the $25 ticket, you know, you may be on the menu. And it doesn't matter, black or white. You know, I watch a lot of black comedy shows. And sometimes in order to be the first 5 to 10 minutes of that show, all you got to be is white and up front. And you catch it. And it's not out of hate. It's out of, you know, just part of the show. But you continually see that. And we got to be open and transparent on here. I can look from Dave Chappelle. I can look at a whole lot of comedians. And I can see some white folks up front get drugged. And some mixed couples get drugged. And some Asian companies, they don't walk up on the stage. And I dare say, had any of us normal people on this stage, number one, we wouldn't have gotten into the Oscars, first off. But had we walked anywhere close to looking like we wanted to be on that stage, we'd have been in the ER before the jail. So the privilege card comes in now. We talk about white privilege, and we talk about privilege a lot. But we don't talk about rich privilege enough. In reference to justice. And Vic, when you're performing and you look out, people in way in the back, you can't see them, but you can see the ones up front. And you see that one thing that click in your mind, and you say, okay, I'm going to talk about this guy, that guy. Do you actually process in your mind, you know, I don't know this person, but from what I can see, what's off limits? Where's my line? Do most comedians know there's a line? I don't want to cross this with that person. Are y'all conscious of that?
I gotta, it's bothering me. I gotta say this and be very upfront about it. Will Smith knew exactly what he was doing. Let me say why I say this. Chappelle has been joking, has been jerking Juicy Smollett for a while. Juicy Smollett ain't gonna walk up on Dave Chappelle.
No.
Just not gonna do it. Why is that? Well, Chappelle's not a little guy. So it's kind of animalistic because you, realistically, you size up your opponent. So he knew what he was doing. I mean, at least that's in my mind. Now, as far as he could have worn a wig, I don't know if I agree with that either. But the fact of the matter is, if you ever look at some of these comedians like Lee, LaFinelli, and a few of these other insult comics, they carry your behind them. Ain't nobody ever got up and going after them. Joe Lisa Lavinelli goes after homosexuals. She goes after blacks. She goes after everybody. Nobody has gotten up. But I will tell you this. I would be very suspect of someone that goes after comics because, again, ain't nobody ever gone after Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac was 6'6 and would tear your ass off. So, again, he knew what he was doing. But you know, he's a bigger guy than Chris Rock, and he sized him up.
Right, but physical size. Yeah, but I'm going to disagree because physical size, it's a factor. Okay. It's a factor. But I guarantee you Will Smith wouldn't have walked up there on D.L. Hughley like that. D.L. would have took it to the mat. You know, I mean, he wouldn't have done it, and you're right. With Dave Chappelle, he wouldn't have done it. I'm going to tell you somebody else I don't think he'd have done it with that ain't the biggest guy in comedy, Cat Williams. Because Cat Williams would have drug him and Jada FOFO ever, EVA. And he knows it. You know, I'm like everybody else. I'm guessing and throwing stuff out there. Will Smith didn't see Chris Rock. He didn't see the guy that has hosted the Emmys not once but twice. The Oscars, I'm sorry, not once but twice. So he had the inside with the big money that funds the Academy. See, Will Smith saw Pookie. But Pookie was the bigger man. And now while people were saying, I've seen a little meme, what did Chris Rock have on his face the next day? Fresh Prince. Okay, but what do Will and Jada have in their life right now? They got rocked. Big John.
Yes, thank you. So first and foremost, I'm waiting to agree, and I agree with you. She should have the right to rock her hair however she wants to rock it. And I don't know whether or not Chris Rock understood her condition. If you follow someone's career, you know he's not the dude that's malicious. That's first and foremost. And the problem that there's so much to go into with this whole scenario. And for me, the first thing is people pick and choose their beefs. Take a guy like, what's my boy named from out of Chicago? He's ruthless. He just had his name. It'll come to me in a second. There's no way that he would go up there and smack him. But what he would have done is waited until to go. Chris was only up there for a few minutes. So he would have probably went behind stage if it was Corey Holcomb is his name. Corey Holcomb is a no-take-no-shit type dude. Kirkland is a no-shit type of dude. So Will Smith could have easily went backstage and said, hey, bro, man, my wife was offended by that. And allowed Chris Rock to either go to the people at the Oscars and say, hey, allow me to go out and apologize real quick to Will's wife. I didn't know of her hair condition. He didn't give him that option. Will Smith does what a lot of dudes do. They do that in the streets. Oh, I'm not going to run up on Jim because Jim can fight. I'm not going to run up on Vic because Vic can fight. But Stan, man, look, man, I'm going to get at Stan. The prisons are full. I did 24 and a half years in prison. Prisons are full with, I would say probably 50 to 60% of the guys in there is behind a woman. Protecting a woman who does not protect him. And what do I mean by that? She had her little entanglement thing. Did she protect Will's reputation, Will's honor, or did she make it public? Whatever she was doing, she could have kept that behind closed doors. That's protecting your men. So why am I Will Smith protecting her? And this had nothing to do with protecting your woman. You wasn't upset at no time was you upset. You looked at her. Your anger don't just come on because she's upset. You went up there and did it. Now, Stan, you made a point. You're out with your wife. People say things. Jim, you have an amazing looking wife and she wants to, hey, nice ass. You have to make a choice. You have to say, can I ignore it? Can I say, yeah, man, if you take the ass nice, you should check out the tip. There's different things, there's different ways you can respond or you can ignore it. You know what I'm saying? But to go on stage, smack someone, I think to me was like, And to be honest, I 100% think that he sized Chris up as he, and I'm not talking about Chris Rock physically, but he sized him up and said, I know his nature is more mild. And the one thing that he misjudged is Chris Rock has long been accepted by those people of the Oscars. He's good friends with Jerry Seinfeld and a lot of these guys, Adam Sandler and these type of guys. Will, you just, you know, over the years been making it over to mainstream. But Chris Rock has long, before he was a big in the black community, he was been accepted by the white community. So you did more damage to your own career than you did to his. He can get over the fact people say he bitch smacked. Something we all from the hood know that you don't do. Spit or smack a person.
You know what, John? I mean, with,
I got a lot more.
My thing real quick, Vic, with the whole, to kick the whole thing off. And for me, what kind of got me was we kicked the whole thing off, the hair thing. Okay, John Joe, y'all didn't know this, but if you look at my hair right here, that's from an accident when I was in seventh grade. I can't grow hair there. It doesn't grow there. And there's a knot there. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I don't have millions to be able to go do whatever. I live with it. If you can, Joe, that's okay, because I look at your hair like too. You know,
and,
but you know, the bigger point is I don't have all that money, but it is what it is. You know, it's right there. Y'all can see it. It's right there. There's no hair never going to grow there. I don't need my wife to go up on stage and smack the shit out of somebody because they noticed it and said something. Live with it and move the hell on. You know, I got two people on my Facebook, Tanya and Reggie May. Married couple. They live their life every day with one leg each. One leg each. Crutches to go everywhere. They don't run around looking for sympathy. If somebody says something about the other, they're not wanting the other one to embarrass them further. See, this is what pisses me off with the Hollywood elite. These elitist ass people. All of our Facebooks, we all have people on our Facebook who have mental health conditions, drug addictions. They're missing a limb. They have some type of deficiency, or they have children who have a mental impairment. And they make their ends meet every single day. But we privilege and empower these rich folks because they seem to be uncomfortable. That's bullshit. Go ahead, Vic. I'm sorry, brother.
Oh, no, you good. No. I mean, okay. Okay, let me see how I put this.
Put it like it comes, bro. Don't worry about it.
All right, so, okay, so go back to what I said about the wig. Okay, now, I didn't mean that she should put on a wig. I'm saying, like, if she really feels that uncomfortable knowing that the world is going to talk about her or whatever, even though she should be able to just go out and be pretty and bald or whatever, right? You know, that's what she should do. But if she feels some type of way, you know, because of her condition, I say stay at home or either do something else with your hair. I mean, because, look, let's be for real. They have millions of dollars. So if you don't want to rock that bald head just because of your condition, then, well, guess what? You have millions. You can solve that problem. Just like Stan Mason said, you know, he don't have millions of dollars. You know, he can't fix that situation, but she can. So that was all I was saying, like, for some wig part. Like, do something about it. I mean, that's all I'm saying. And I'm going to say this real quick, and I'm going to let you talk, genre. Okay. And another thing about reacting. Every action don't need to react. And I say that to say this. Okay. If we want to react to every situation that a person say about our significant other, well, guess what? We better have some damn good life insurance, right? Because everybody else is not going to be like Chris Rock, just going to sit there and get slapped. There's people, including me, don't get that night comedian Victor twisted. I have a background without a background, but that's another story. So that being said, you know, I ain't going to let nobody come slap me just because they upset about a situation that, you know, they were said. And at the same time, you know, I ain't going to just react to this person because he said something about my wife's butt or tits or whatever, or they said something about me.
I can't do that because guess what, man? We live every day and we die once, man. We got to learn to control our minds and our temper because that one word will have us in a penitentiary for a long time.
Hey, Vic, but let's look at this part, though, too. You know, okay. I mean, brother, I agree with you. But let's look right now where we are, early 2000s to where we are now.
Okay.
What men always hear, they're not man enough. You need to step your man game up. I want a perfect man. I want this. We are always under the microscope. Mm-hmm. You can work at McDonald's and Burger King, two jobs, but that's not good enough oftentimes for somebody who doesn't even have one. Let's be 100 about it on this show. Feelings be there, you know? So when you get these good men, who are out there, they may not have a Lexus. They may not have a BMW. You know, they may not even know they have a good credit score because they don't charge anything, but they do. But men sometimes, I think, today are feeling like we always have to prove ourselves to a potential partner depending on your acceptance of me despite your present condition. So I think that pressure is there, and I can't speak for all men, but particularly being black, there's enough out here. You have to worry about just surviving on a daily basis and not being put in jail to even get to that point. And so when I see people in Will Smith's position, I like Will Smith, but I can't have a lot of sympathy. But I wish I could just go, I'm going to go get on my yacht and just go away for 2 weeks.
But I think that we're missing the real point here. We're talking about a comedy situation. We're not talking about being in the streets. Because if we're talking about being in the streets, you're talking a whole different issue. The fact that we're talking about you're in an enclosed environment where jokes are being told. Now, the other thing that people are missing, and one of the guys on the feed said it, G.I. Jane wasn't a bad movie. It really was not a bad movie. So there is a problem with that.
And Demi Moore is not a bad-looking woman either.
I'll get to that in a minute, but you're right. But the other part is that you're in an enclosed environment, in a controlled environment, where you don't have to worry about an outside attack for all intents and purposes, and you just snap off because something in your ego would not let that go. Because like you said, at first, and there's all kind of videos, he's laughing. But the other part of this that disturbed me to no end was the fact that these people actually stood up and gave this guy a standing ovation. They applauded this.
Any one of us on here, where would we have been? Drug us right
out
of the emergency exit, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, kind of quiet. First off, Will needs to get some damn counseling.
Amen.
I'm just going to throw that out there because he's got something going on bigger than this whole thing. And, I mean, and I agree with John. Handle that backstage. Show some character. I mean, if it makes you so mad, run back there. Hey, man, that wasn't cool. All right? At least let the guy know. Chris Rock, I don't know Chris Rock, but I just imagine he is really like the character like he plays in Grown Ups, kind of like the nerdy guy, right? He's funny. He's absolutely hilarious. But I think that sort of transcends, as Stan was saying, Joe was saying, he was sized up. Will sized him up. And I think that was what was in his mind and why he went up there and he did that. He's probably pretty lucky that it wasn't somebody else, that it was Chris Rock, and Chris Rock's professionalism, kind of let him move on down the road. But, Joe, you're right. We move past this particular point and, we act as if, he's the hero. You're not a hero, man. You did something wrong. You have to pay the price. Now, this stuff about resigning from the Academy and all that, okay, cool, whatever. Move on down the road. I'm just going to say, I know just within this past two weeks, I know people that are serious victims of crime that haven't had a millisecond of time that this has had. So, I mean, let's get back to the real world and reality. Privilege was thrown around, that rich elite, that's what this is. I mean, any other normal person would have been
in jail.
You had 15 LAPD officers dragging you out, right, with various body parts off the side exit, and You know, next story would be your mugshot, you know, holding a little placard. And right. So, you know, I mean, come on, let's get back to what is the reality of this world. You know, there are other things that are going on. It sucks that it happened. I get it. I'm not going to try to get into the psychology of why they did whatever they did. But, you know, Will Smith don't give two craps about you. And he's got enough money not to worry about it. But we sure are concerned about him. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can say it's just as a human, from a human perspective. Go get some calcium, man. Get whatever's in your head. Get that out. Get it right. And hopefully at some point in time, and I like Will Smith. I think he's a great actor. You know, maybe he'll bounce back. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes you got to eat a big old piece of humble pie, right, to return back. And that's just what he's going to have to do.
And, you know, Chief, what's dangerous about Will Smith, though, is that we are no longer in this cliche world of, you know, when we talk about Hollywood and we say, you know, art imitates life. No. Today, reality is imitating art. And we see it through every aspect of life in America, whether it's policing, whether it's politics, whether it's even many of our social lives. You know, people want to be the housewives of wherever. They want to be the Kardashians. They want to be, so we take what we like of them and we bring it out there and we try to play that role. And like Vic said earlier, you know, the danger is, you know, you can get out there and write a check. But somebody going to cash it.
No.
And you better be able to back it up. And unfortunately, because unless we do actually talk about these things from the perspective, which we're trying to do today, of just Jada and Will and Chris Rock, how does this go down to average America who watched it, who don't have jobs and places to go? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it's scary for you know, Vic, to now see that. In his profession and what he does for a living, that somebody's just able to walk up and do that. I mean, I think about the comedians that I grew up, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy. I mean, some of the stuff that they said,
George Carlin,
pales. Yeah, it was not even close to this joke, right? And nobody walked up on any of them folks because it was comedy. You knew going in, as we said earlier, you're a target. I've been to improv shows before. I mean, you sitting in that front row, you automatically become part of the show. That's just the way that it is, man. And so, you know, when the material comes out and these guys are performing and they're doing the things that they do in the comedy world, that's just how this is. And again, I'm going to say, Joe, you go ahead and follow it up. This is common sense. But common sense ain't so common. So, you know, it's frightening. You got a guy that's out here trying to perform his art, his magic, you know, his routine, and somebody now gets so pissed off about something that they feel they'd have the ability just to walk up there and do something. I mean, that's problematic. That's absolutely problematic. So, you know, I think for guys like Vic, you know, the other folks that are out there that are in this business or about to get into this business, that's a serious concern that people got to be worried about, you know, in this field. So, you know, I don't know.
Jim, you hit on a few key factors, and one of the things you talked about was Richard Pryor and those guys. I think for my biggest concern for a guy like Vic, what about the hecklers that come to the shows? I've seen Richard Pryor get heckled. Dude asked Richard Pryor, how's your mama? And Richard Pryor told, and someone else was heckling him from the other side. He said, well, hold on, motherfucker. I want to deal with this motherfucker to ask me about my mama. How's your mama? Right? And you know, I was Richard Pryor. But because someone says something to the comedian, does the comedian have the right to walk up the stage and smack him? Hell no. And my biggest thing is, let's take Jada out of here. Because this really wasn't about Jada. This is about Will Smith. And that's something you kind of touched on, Jeff. This is about Will Smith. His manhood. His manhood. Because, first of all, you have a man that was laying with your wife. And people sitting back, you went through what? And the dude is living in your house? And what kind of shit you... So, Will... is schooled up in his
own makeup. Let's talk about Will Smith, the individual. Take Jada out of the equation. When he looked at Jada, that just reminded him, you're weak, you're broken, you're not a man. You tuck your, all those things came to his mind, and it had nothing to do with his wife. It has to do with him as who he is. And he thought in his mind that for once, I'm going to step up, because no one at the, can't blame the Oscars, no one thought that Will Smith was going to go up there and smack him. Chris Rock wasn't even expecting it, and even not expecting it, he didn't even shake the man. That's how much of a bitch he swings. Like, he, you should have slapped him, and he should have stumbled somewhere. And the last point that I want to make, with Will resigning, I think it was more so them going to him and saying, look,
yeah, you got to
embarrass you. Why don't you step down? So him stepping down means jack to people of understanding. So I'll leave this there. Let's talk about Will Smith and take Jada out of the equation for a few minutes. And let's talk about Will Smith.
But, John, let's say this. For me, it's hard for me to give Jada a pass because I've seen enough folks doing that on Facebook. I don't want to make her the center of this. But I'm not going to exclude Jada from vicarious liability, legal term, in this mess, because I'm going to tell you why. Now I'm 60 years old. I've been on this earth for a minute. And when I saw Will Smith, the up-and-coming heir apparent to Denzel, Denzel was the man. That's just the man, period, point blank. Here comes Will Smith. Career destroyed because of that moment. And then I have to go back to what was a catalyst in that moment, Jada was. But then let's flip the script and go all the way back to the most prolific heavyweight champion in the world, Mike Tyson. Destroyed Mike Tyson on the Oprah show in public, Robin Givens. Destroyed him. This man looked embarrassed, humiliated, and he was never the same after the interview. For those of you who don't know that, go back and pull up Robin Givens, Mike Tyson, Oprah. Put it in YouTube and look at that video. Now, there's some things, we all have things that are our family secrets with our significant other. Ann is not going to bring that to this show for likes and clicks and ratings, nor will anybody else. And the red table talk is important, because Will got put on blast, and obviously, if you look at it, he was embarrassed. Because one thing about men, we're not going to look at Stan's wife cheating on him with Victor. No, they're going to say, you know what, man, it was some 19-year-old doing your wife. You ain't man enough. That's what we hear in the locker room, at the gym, our personal talk, which is total disrespect to him. When I saw Will, and I'm not giving Will a pass by any stretch, but I saw a man who was absolutely destroyed, deflated, torn down. Why? Because of that woman. Because I saw what happened to Mike Tyson. I got a chance to see two greats destroyed in my lifetime. Mike Tyson and Will Smith. And the commonality is, and don't nobody put a color on it, to any man. Just like we hear about women, who men do this to women, guess what? It's a flip side of this conversation, too. Samson was destroyed by Delilah. Mike was destroyed by Robin. Will was destroyed by Jake. That's my opinion on it. I may not be right, but that's just how I feel.
No, you're not right.
Can I respond to that, please?
Go
ahead. Please don't. I'll be quick.
Go
ahead. I have to disagree with you, Stan, extremely disagree with you here. What these women did was expose the vulnerability of these men, right? So let's talk about Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was who he was before he met a Robin Givens.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Givens got with him and exploited and exposed publicly who Mike Tyson actually is. Because we see the brute Mike Tyson, but she's seen that same Mike Tyson in a different light and seen the opportunity to expose that in the public eye. Well, what did Jada do? Jada exposed Will to the public. We see Will on TV. We see the commercials. We see the movies. We see the award ceremony. And we think of Will Smith, not in the light of him accepting some sucker shit until she exposed it. So Jada dating me wouldn't do that. Even if she was doing whatever she was doing, she wouldn't put that out there.
Right.
I'm a different type of brother.
And that's my point.
So, and this is why I said that we need to set aside Jada for a second, not excuse her, not give her a pass. We're going to come back to her. But let's talk about the individual for a second. Why was Will a prime suspect for what she did? Will was prime for what she did with that young boy. Ask yourself, how she been dating comedian Victor? Would she have went for that? Would she would have went out there? Would she done that to Joe or Tim or you? No. And if she was doing something, she would have kept it as low as possible. She would have had her mother, her sister, her best friend. Yo, if Joe called, tell him I'm with you, you with me. She wouldn't have no dude living there doing what she's doing. He was crying for what she did.
Well, look here. Let me pivot just for a second. Let me talk about the historical issue, at least for me. I watched this movie years ago as a kid called Gone with the Wind. And I, half of you guys don't know about it, but let me just say this. I had to watch it. And the winner was a lady, the black, first real black winner was a lady named Hattie McDaniel. Hattie McDaniel couldn't even go to the fucking awards. David O. Selznick had to call in favor so she could even come into the place where they held the award. So from 59 until now, where we're not sitting in the front row, we're going to go out and show up. I don't find that acceptable. I mean, historically, it's a problem for me.
It is.
And if you look at the, hold on, if you look at the interview with the guy that produced it, it was almost an hour-long interview that they did, and he just went through the whole thing, how this thing overshadowed all the first Macbeth, everyone else overshadowed because of this one man. Now, listen to what I just said. One man. You can talk about Jada till the day is no end. The fact is that this man got up out of his chair and went up and struck another man. Damn, Jada. He made a conscious decision. He made it. No one else. And put the blame where it should be. Quit playing with people and saying, you know, first of all, it's a joke. Plain and simple. Look at the venue. We're not talking about in some world stage where we're arguing world politics, but it's a fucking joke.
But, Joe, I agree with you, but I'm going to call you out on this point that John, I'm going to call you out on this. And this is why I can't exclude Jada from the conversation. Because, John, you said yourself, I did 24 and a half years in prison, and there are men in there because of bad decisions made, motivated by a woman. I think, and this is me, and I haven't seen everything, but I think Jada has been given a pass by a lot of people. I'm not condemning her. I don't know the woman. I think she's beautiful. I think she's pretty. But Will Smith, to me, and I've been a man a long time, I don't know Will Smith. But most men can look at another man and see where he has been worn down. Now, we can all sit up and put on the hero role and say, this person's got to accept responsibility for what they did. Yes, that's true. But every single one of us on here can give a scenario where we would get up and slap the shit out of somebody for offending their wife, where another one of us would say, I wouldn't have done that. So, and there's some things in every marriage, whether it's any of us on this page, anybody on Facebook, anybody will listen to this later. Guess what? We all got some dark secrets. Every single one of us. Let's be 100. Ain't no sponsors here to run from us. All of us got some dark secrets and some shit we did that we hope our significant other never talks about. And to me, if you walk or Joe, shake your head, but I'm telling you, if that other significant other person that's close to you, it doesn't matter what y'all agree on and do in silence. If they bring it out in public with you standing there, you're going to feel some kind of way about that. The betrayal, not the relationship, but just the betrayal is something we held that is our secret. And every marriage has it. Things that you don't talk about.
Let me respond to you, please. I think that we're missing a point here. Shahida, you mentioned all these historical women, biblical women or whatever, Mike Tyson and Robin Givens. You're looking at an individual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at, when I say will, and I talk about the men that are in prison, they have the same Will Smith syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm addressing the syndrome that are in men like Will. So those men that are in prison, because they have that same thing about them. And notice I did say she wouldn't do that to Joe, Jim, Vic, or you, Stan, or myself. Because there's an other half of the prison that's not like the Will syndrome. But there's men in prison behind women because of the man was weak. Because it takes a weak man to do something to another man over a woman. Now, when we get back to Jada, we can talk about the women who are like Jada. Jada is not just the individual.
Mm-hmm.
She embodies a certain type of woman. If you follow what I'm coming from, Joe, she embodies a certain kind of woman. Will Smith embodies a certain kind of man. So if we're not going to sit down and strip down that Will Smith character, we're not going to get to the real root of the problem.
Exactly.
There will be the next boxer who's like Mike Tyson. There will be the next comedian who goes on stage this time he stabs someone. Because we're not addressing the issue, and the issue is men who have that Will Smith syndrome. That's the issue, not Jada, not Will individually, but we're talking about a characteristic, a trait. So those men that are in prison have that trait.
Can I say it one more time?
No, you can't.
I think what we're really talking about is relationships. I mean, because and who really runs them or how they come to be. I mean, because if we look at relationships, if we look at our present Supreme Court justice, whose wife, Foreman, is part of the insurrection, nobody's talking about them. But we're taking this time to talk about an award ceremony where a man gets up and slaps another man. But you're not talking about someone that sits at the crown, the height of power, in Foreman's and insurrection. So what you really are talking about, or what we should be talking about, is these relationships. And how they formulate and how they stagnate or don't.
Exactly. Exactly.
In the case of, again, going back to, you know, this instance here, unfortunately, it will pass. I think this guy's career might be in the toilet. I certainly am not going to be a supporter of this. At the same time, I will support Chris Rock because I think of all of this. Again, a pivot point. I think what we're not talking about is the work, not workmanship, but the power that Chris has shown by not doing some stupid shit. If you looked at the interview, Chris Rock was interviewed by LAPD backstage, told him, we will lock his ass up today. They asked him, we will charge him with first, because again, in California standard, it's an assault. In Illinois, it would be a battery, because you can't assault for us if you threaten me. In California, they said, look, we can lock them up for either assault or disorderly conduct. And Chris Rock said, no, I will not do that. So we need to be applauding Chris Rock.
Amen.
For what he did.
That's
another thing that we're not doing. We need to pivot and say, hey, man, you not only stood up, you stood out.
And, Joe, I'm going to play a video real quick, and I'm going to ask everybody to mute your mic so this can be full screen, because I want everybody to be able to see this and not just in my little box. But I'm going to put a warning up front. You are going to hear the N-word countless times in this video, and you are going to hear profanity in it. So if you've got kids in the room, take them out of the room. Or if you're offended by the N-word or profanity, mute your own mic speakers where you don't have to hear it. But it's important to hear because this is a video of Chris Rock's brother addressing this event, who is also a comedian. For those of y'all that don't know that think Chris is a lightweight travel alone, Chris got 10 siblings. And Victor, after I play this, I really want to hear from you and get your take on it. Like I said, the stranger was up front about the language, but I'm not going to not play it because I think we've heard from everybody but his family on how they felt. We certainly heard from Will Smith's son through Twitter. And Vic, I want to tell you, he's a comedian upcoming like yourself. When you saw that, you heard that. First off, have you ever seen it? And then what you think about it?
Well, first thing first, I never seen it. But I will say this, though. Chris Rock Brooklyn, that is me. Let's be for real. That is me. For one, I come from a family of 15. I'm the 13th child out of 15 kids. My mom and dad had no twins. So we are like a army. To say if you mess with me, everybody comes from Little Rock, from Arizona, Vegas, wherever, or vice versa. It is what it is. I mean, that is how we brought up. You know, we going to protect our loved ones, bars, you know. But that being said, you know, dude is a comedian, man. I mean, you just can't come on a stage and just try to fight nobody. I mean, because like you said, you know, if you come on a stage with me and all I'm doing is cracking jokes, but I'm trying to spread nothing but positivity. That is what I do. follow my pages right now, that's all you see. Positivity. You know, I crack jokes. Don't get me wrong. I crack jokes. But I'm all about love and positivity. So for you to just come on stage or just come, if I hear you, my domain, and I know I don't even start it, I don't disrespect, that's where it's going to be a problem. So, yeah, I am Chris Rock, bro.
So let me ask you this, Beck, because I want to stay with you. Let me ask you this, Beck, because I want to stay with you on this, because I'm happy to have you here, and you stay so busy just having you here. I want to take advantage of the time. We can all feel some kind of way about Will or Jada or what happened, and Chris and whatever. But, brother, I want to hear from you, because we all have our personal lives, but that's your profession. That's what you go out there and do. How do we fix this? Not just between Will and Chris, screwed up, but just in America, period. We are so soft now. We don't like anybody to say anything, and we feel that because we're offended, we can be violent. That's where Karens come from. How do we fix this, bro?
I mean, to be told, I mean, you know, you can't fix nothing that's broke, right? I mean, it's not broken just because it happened to them or whatever. That don't mean it's just going to happen to us, but we do got to watch out certain little words and certain little whatever. But it ain't nothing to be fixed. Just be you. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to be me regardless. Like I said, like 30, 40 minutes ago, I'm going to be me regardless. You know, I'm a crack joke. I'm always be positive, whatever. So if I can't do that, then I guess I never make it mainstream or Hollywood or whatever case it may be. I mean, there's nothing to be fixed because it's not broken.
You know, but
I don't know if it makes sense. It ain't nothing to be fixed.
I mean, I think that, I see this beyond Will and Jada. I see it as America, period. See, this could have been a political debate. You know, we're so fractured and jacked up. If you're Muslim and you say something about a Christian, they want to fight or vice versa. If you're Republican or Democrat, now you can both be black, and my wife is hurt, so I feel I can. And the Americans have gone to this mentality that I can just automatically skip to violence or solve it, since I can't articulate my discomfort. You know, even in policing, when officers still they don't get to articulate their way, it goes physical, right or wrong. But that's the American mentality. When I disagree with you, I can go to violence, and if the majority agrees with me, it's okay. I mean, Joe said it. Will Smith got a standing ovation at the Oscars. Chris Rock didn't. But guess what? Chris Rock got two standing ovations the next or two nights later at his show for 1.5 to 2 minutes, both. So when do we as a country, what happened with Will and Chris is just a derivative, a microcosm of what America has become. If we disagree Republican and Democrat, and there's more Democrats than Republicans, I can walk up and punch your lights out, and it's okay. If I say my opinion at a Trump rally, I can get beat up because the majority there feels that way. That's where we have come to. America no longer... We're all snowflakes. It ain't a Republican or Democrat thing. All of us. Our feelings get hurt. Like this show, anybody can call here right now and say how they feel. We don't cut them off. We want to learn from you. I may disagree with you. I may not like what you're saying, but I'm not Rush Limbaugh or any of these other people that are going to hang up on you. There's no call screeners here. When I see you push one on that phone, I look over at the computer and see it. I bring you on. I don't know what you're going to say, who you are, and where you're from. See, this is real dialogue. And America does not have the ability to disagree but be disagreeable. We don't know how to do that.
I think you're taking it. Well, for me, anyway, I think for me as a microcosm, what's wrong with us? Now, let's talk about us. 50 years later, here we are. We're doing this to us. Bad enough that they did it to us. Now, we're doing it to us under the guise of free speech.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
So before we even talk about fixing the problem, we have to recognize where the problem is. You know, before you start fixing those shit, where's the problem? Well, the problem is here. Us. This, I mean, certainly we can make this a bigger thing than it is, but for right now, in this moment, it's us. These are two black men that got on a national stage. Well, one black man that got on national stage and slapped the taste out of another guy's mouth because of a joke. When we got wars in Ukraine, when we got a Supreme Court justice and his wife trying to overthrow, talking about overthrowing the government. Come on, man.
But
we
no.
can't help him, we can't help us.
Yeah,
that's
but
my
you're right, bro, but did you hear what I...
But hey, you know,
yes, sir.
It really bothers me is the fact that us, getting back to us, we have acted like this at the Soul Train Awards, Source Awards, BET Awards. We have been in gang fights at these awards. So now you get on this large stage and I think, and Joe, you're hitting something because we need to examine us, for example, for a field. We need to examine us.
Right.
Get out there, and maybe that's the reason why Jada had to speak out and the reason why they didn't want, because they've seen the way we've been acting at the academies, at the BTs. They've seen us. But when are we going to address us? When are we going to address and see and stand, and this is what I've been saying the whole time, is we're not looking at behavior. The only reason why Jada and Will is getting dragged out is because we're not zooming in on behavior. Will Smith is an individual, but that behavior is something that is in a lot of men, especially black men. Jada is an individual, but that behavior is in a lot of women. And I call this the Popeye syndrome, because think about this. Olive oil jumped in the car with Brutus, because Brutus got the new car. Popeye was there working on his car. Oh, be ready in 2 hours. She jumps in the car with Brutus. And said, what do Brutus always do? He always try to take and strong arm Olive, disrespect her, and who comes to the rescue? This is that
good analogy.
Hey, well, I was going to say back with what Joe was talking about, and to back off what or go off what you're saying, John. We have this incident. It is a behavior incident, and we normalize it. We give the guy standing ovation. That's part of this problem. Is we just kind of, that's what it is. I'm sure there are people in there that didn't know what they should be doing as a result of that, because they're some of those folks are so far removed from society that I don't know. But we normalize that behavior, and that's problematic. I think that's part of the main issue about fixing this stuff. Stan, you said we Republican, Democrat, you get punched in the face because you disagree, or you have a different opinion. We normalize that type of aggressive behavior, which needs to be stopped. It needs to be taught to a lot of people that's not the way it's supposed to act. Handle it in a conductive manner, mm-hmm. versus going out and popping somebody, which is to go back into law enforcement. You talk about the issues that we've got there, right? I just, when you made the comment about police, I'm thinking about the auditors. I mean, that's a true, clear example. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. We gotta get a good understanding and a grasp, saying, look, that's not normal. You cannot just go out and pop somebody and not expect any repercussions or consequences. Mm-hmm. And kudos to Chris Rock. I think Chris Rock handled it, very well. I applaud him for not wanting to press charges, because I think that would have technically made matters worse. And I'm sure because he's such a good guy, he just didn't want to make it any more problematic than what it already was for Will Smith. I mean, so, you know, he had some compassion, some empathy. He probably knows something's going on in that guy's head, screws loose, and he needs to get that fixed. And getting arrested probably will not solve the issue. Or like what Jim Carrey said, you know, I would have announced next morning I'm suing Will Smith for $200 million. You know, that's ridiculous. I mean, you deal with it on whatever level you think is possible, but I don't necessarily know going after him financially is going to be the key to this, you know? I mean, so, we got much bigger problems going on than this particular situation, but it is a true micro example of what is happening. I agree with you on that one.
And see, you know, I got to go back to what I said earlier in the show. Popular phrase is art imitates life. That was true 30 years ago. Today, life imitates art. And so when we look at these things, and when I first saw it, I, as being black, I was embarrassed, first off, to hell with the Academy. I don't care about the Academy. I got nothing to do with the Academy. I was embarrassed for the black producers, who Jada, I'm bringing her back, led the protest against. Not enough black people getting Oscars. Not enough black people involved. What Oscars did their part and stepped up. Let's be 100. And they stepped up and did their part. And then this happened. But when I talk about us, sometimes I've got to be willing to say that us sometimes is us that doesn't look like me. Us that may not speak my language. Us who were embarrassed. Us who continually look at this Will Smith, Chris Rock thing that is a microcosm, Joe. Great word. I'll hijack it and use it. It's not about what's wrong with America. The Oscars ain't got shit to do with America. I don't even watch it. I saw the video. I don't care who wins Best Actor. I really don't care. But what I saw happen on that stage, at Joe, you and I, us level, offended me. Why? I was personally offended because Will Smith disrespected the black producers, the Williams family, all the people in attendance who may not look like us, but they were in attendance, all the viewers who looked like us for his personal I'm pissed off moment, whether Jada did it or didn't do it or motivated, whatever the case may be. Don't bring your personal shit to the job. You know what? If Will Smith would have been a cop and done that, that city would have been paying millions of dollars. So this is behind the blue curtain.
They've torn the city down. Right?
Yeah, now this is behind the blue curtain. So I'm going to let you go, Chief, but let's roll it there for a minute. And people are going to go, that's a reach. Well, that's what we do here. If Will Smith would have been a cop and did to Chris Rock what happened, it'd be millions to be paid by taxpayers. So we can't be selectively outraged. As a black man, I'm personally offended that he embarrassed. I'm from Pennsylvania. He embarrassed our state. He embarrassed Philly, who supported him when he started out in rap. He embarrassed those black producers. They were producing the Oscars because his wife led a protest against the Oscars before. He embarrassed Samuel L. Jackson and Denzel Washington, who I didn't get to see Samuel L. Jackson get his Oscar from Denzel because of Will Smith's bullshit. I didn't get to see Questlove get his. Go ahead, Chief.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I go back to what Joe was talking about. You know, we're talking 50 years, right? From not being able to be there to actually sitting on the front row, right? That selfish act wiped out so much. I'm gonna relate it to our business, right? Or to being the cop, right? You get all these good accommodations, right? People, citizens love you, et cetera, and you get that one complaint. How many attaboys did that one complaint wipe out? It'll take out 10 probably if it's a good complaint, right? So we've just gone backwards. We have absolutely gone backwards because of a selfish, ridiculous act by an individual. And I mean, I don't know how other ways to explain it. He screwed that up royally and basically crapped on a bunch of really good people that are making a difference in the world. And, you know, he don't care. He don't give a, he don't care about those people. I haven't heard him apologize. Has he apologized to the producers or the folks that were there? I don't know. I've been following too much, but I don't know that he's individually gone out and said, hey, you're the lead producer. I'm sorry that I acted like a fool. You know, everything else seems to be very generic, at least what I've seen. So I don't know. It's a selfish, ridiculous act that shouldn't have taken place. If you wanted to handle it, you should have gone back and talked to him back behind the scenes, and that'd be it.
You know who I'm hurting for is Richard Williams, because he's always been portrayed as this crazed black guy and mean this. He, you know, they even tried to ban him at certain tennis matches and stuff like that. They had him out for being crazy, but he was a black man who believed in his daughters and their ability, and he believed in himself. He taught them girls how to play tennis, right? And that was overshadowed because that there's people who looking at Will Smith as he was still in character, making Richard seem like he's that angry. That's how Richard would have handled it. I've seen people post things on Richard Williams, and that's the sad part about all of it, because this man was receiving his redemption for all the stuff that's been thrown on him, and Will Smith stole the headlines for that.
Selfish act that hurt untold amount of people.
But again, in his self-emphasizing war speech, the first thing Will says is, there I go again, acting like this crazy dad. Now you just insulted this kid. What? How? I mean, again, it's self-emphasizing, self-serving, and it did nothing. I mean, if anything, the man that you portrayed gives him something. What did you do for that family? At least in my mind, you embarrassed them again on national TV, and people stood up and applauded that. I failed to see the redemption in that, because I don't know of any father who's put their child, whose kids are now superstars, that weren't called great at some point. I mean, they talked about Tiger Woods' father being great. He talked about how he used to make his son shoot golf balls at 8-3.
Joe Jackson.
Joe had my brother. There might be that one.
He's a jab.
But the point is that there's no parent that puts their kid or educates that is not directed, let me just say that, passionate in what they do. Now, can that be passion? Can you be overzealous in your passion? Certainly. But to stand up in an acceptance speech and say, oh, there I go, I'm acting like the crazy dad again. Man, if you don't shut up.
But let me.
I'd have got a,
but
you should have got beat for that.
But even Mr. Williams' response, I mean, again, measure of character. I mean, his response to that whole incident, if you read it, you know, I never even would have known they were calling him crazy if you read his response to when they asked him about Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, because his response was true and correct. It shouldn't have happened. So, you know, again, I agree. That's just a big middle finger to that guy when you say that, when he gets up there and make the acceptance speech, you know, and then to use that as an excuse to excuse your behavior is even worse.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, let me do this. Let's defer back to our guest, who is a comedian, who can potentially face something that most of us won't face in a performance arena, though we may face it to some degree in daily life. But I want to go back, Vic, and I want to ask you, you know, what do you see as a person who will come listen to you, whether I'm black or white or Hispanic? I'm just somebody, I like Victor Baker, comedian. I love his stuff. I want to go see him. He's a concert. Honey, let's go. And we're a gay couple, or we're an interracial couple, or we're a heavyweight, or a heavyset couple, or we're a slim couple, or we're not the most attractive couple. We're something that's going to attract attention. But I love your stuff so much, we're going to pay the extra. We want to be in that front row. Yeah, you might pick on us. We understand that. What message, and I know you can't speak for all comedians, but what do you want to say to people who right now, in light of everything that's happened, comedians are uncomfortable. People who sit in the front rows may or may not be uncomfortable. You know, and you don't have to give a definitive answer. But from your spirit, from comedian Victor Baker, what do you want people to know when you're up there performing and when they're willing to buy seats? What do you want to put out?
Okay. Well, first thing first, you know, whenever I'm at, you know, like, excel the stage or just doing whatever I do, you know, any joke that I do or say, whatever, it's all for love. I sound crazy, but, you know, it's not like, okay, I'm just targeting the disabilities or I'm targeting the gay people. No, I talk about everybody. I talk about myself. I talk about my kids. You know, I'm a jokester. I've been a jokester since elementary. You know, so I talk about everybody. You know what I mean? So if I ever say something about a gay person, just know, gay community, you know, everybody that's on Facebook watching, whatever, just say if you're gay or whatever the case may be, I'm targeting you guys just because you guys are gay. That is not what I'm doing. I'm doing this for one. Okay, this ain't my business. You know, I'm a comedian. I would say the word threatening joke to somebody. It's a threatening joke on me because guess what? Everybody's going through something, right? So comedy actually brings, you know, like the smile and the laughter and everything. It's not because I'm targeting. So if I crack a joke, whatever, it ain't because I just hate you guys or, okay, I'm gonna talk about you because you stand black or I'm gonna talk about you because you white, you know, blah, 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 whatever. No, fuck no. I'm doing this because this is what I do and I'm actually cracking my joke to save other people's lives. And I'm gonna say this real quick. I had this one person that was in my inbox like 3 weeks ago, whatever, you know what I mean? I posted a skit a while back, and this person actually just seen the skit, whatever. This person actually said my comedy, my skits actually saved their life. If I could put that person's name out there, I would, but I'm not going to do it out of respect, whatever. So comedy actually saved people's life. There's people who actually going through mental depression, suicidal thoughts is an all-time high. You know, comedy actually heals souls, heals broken spirits. So everything that's said is not a target. It's all for love. That's all I got to say.
I agree. Laughter, you know, it's been said laughter is the world's best medicine. I subscribe to that and I ascribe to that. So, no, I get it. And I've actually seen people that, you know, again, I got to refer back to a couple of comics here that people actually say, hey, man, your comedy has done the same thing just as you said. Because some of what you say in making people laugh, you know, you can laugh at yourself and the world laughs with you. And I certainly agree with that. I mean, look at John. I mean, I'm laughing at him now.
you keep me to the point, but I'm coming for you.
But you know, Joe,
I want to say this to you, Vic. It's a real tragedy that comedians are made to apologize for making the world smile, to make people laugh. If you go to a comedy show, you go there to laugh. And sometimes you're the butt of the joke. You know what I mean? So, and the crazy part about it, no matter what type of line people cross, the one line that no one never makes anyone apologize for is using the N-word. Think about it. You could say all these other little things, and next thing you know, oh, they boycotting you this, boycotting that. These people are speaking against you. But as long as you use that N-word, you're good. You're good. He's talking about himself. He's talking about his people. But you can't talk about nobody else. Interesting. And I want to share this with you real quick. And I think I told you, Stan, my brother went to a comedy show that one of my friends hosted at his club. And it was on Valentine's Day. My brother's girl was already there. He got off work late. He came late. Two things you don't do. Sit in the front row and think you ain't going to get roasted, or come to a comedy show late. If you come late, you're a target. So my brother gets to the show. It's Valentine's Day. A lot of guys see my brother. And he's like, yo, what up, man? They jumping up. And the comedian don't know my brother. I think he was from Atlanta somewhere my man brought him from. And the comedian said, yo, that end right there, man, a suspect. Man, y'all keep an eye on him, man. He said he's been hugging every man in here. And he comes to a Valentine's Day event by himself. Man, you better watch. Said to him, one of the dudes, yo, man, TJ, he talking about you. So my brother sprinted around, and he was like, yeah, you. And my brother had a look on his face. My man came running on the stage and said, hey, don't ease up. They the biggest drug dealers, his and my brother. And the comedian started apologizing and stuff. And then my brother went and sat with his girl. And he said, look, man, you got one of the toughest girls in here, man. You good? But it's funny because we laugh about that right now. We laugh. I bring that up or with his girl when we're sitting around. She said, oh, he got roasted at 3 shows already. Every time my brother goes to a comedy show, he gets roasted. But he don't mind. And you know what? We sit back and laugh about it 15, 20, 25 years later. Because he was part of the show. He engaged in the show. That's what the beauty of it is. Man, look, man, do your act. If you see a dude like Joe, hairline receding, let him have it. Let him have it, bro. And I never realized you do kind of favor Joe Jackson a little bit, so I'm on the topic.
Hey, Vic, let me say this to you. First off, comedians are a whole different group by themselves. I mean, having met some of the most ingenious guys I've ever met, of men and women. I mean, witty, like if you look at, again, from Lisa Lapidelli even to Chris Rock, to Dave Chappelle, to you, I've seen some of your stuff. Where you come up with this stuff, I don't know. I mean, the fact that we're sitting here talking to a guy that looks like Kool-Aid with a camo shirt on, you know, and he's fading in the background. But I will say this. Your craft is a craft. And I give nothing but praise and homage to guys, men and women in that field, because it takes a lot. And again, everybody doesn't have that. Everybody's not that quick with it, as we know. I mean, it's kind of like being the police. Everybody can't be the police. I mean, because it's a part social worker, even though they don't want to admit to it, and it's part comedian. I've gone in situations where I have them laugh. I can get them laughing, and I can walk out. I don't have to put cuffs on nobody, and I can keep going. But that's a skill set, and it is. Everybody doesn't have that. So, hey, man, keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, Dave, I want to put you up front for a minute in the spotlight, you know, because like I said, you know, when I started 6 years ago talking about policing, you found me and listen to the things I said. You text me, man, I hear what you're saying. I see it. And I mean, we're talking 2016, bro. And you've always been in my corner. You know, you know when to text. Keep your head up, man. You're doing good. You're doing right. You're speaking. But I want you, you know, you're always either performing or you got to guard yourself because you're not allowed to have a personal opinion because people will think that your personal opinion is your act and all that. You know, take as much time as you need, bro. Tell people about comedian Victor Baker. Where did he come from? How did he get to where he is? What is it you would want people in that audience when you make that eye contact to know about you? And they don't need to know all your personal shit, but just that, you know, if you could pull them to the side and have a conversation. And right now, I am going to put you on Front Street because you're going to speak to all comedians without personally knowing all comedians. But at the same time, I don't have that big-ass audience. You're speaking to a few people who know a few people, but we all live through everything you talk about every day, real people. Brother, take the time because, you know, you stood up and came here, so I'm giving you as much time as you need.
All right. So, 2012, September 4th, at 10:08 p.m., it was the day and the time that my mom passed away. For years I've been battling depression. Like, as of right now, I still battle depression. Me being me, being goofy at work. So, you know, I'm always cracking jokes. I'm always making people laugh. This, that. This one guy, he was a tall, yellow guy. He's about 6'3", 6'4". Dude's name was Charles Hill. No, Charles Hall, apologize. Dude came to me and he was like, "Hey, man, you actually funny as hell. Short than a motherfucker." Excuse my French. "Short than a motherfucker. But you funny as hell, man. You natural, man. Hey, man, you ever thought about being a comedian or just coming out with a page and just make people laugh, this and then that?" At the time, I'm like, "Nah, bro, I ain't that funny, you know. I ain't that funny." Dude was like, "Hey, man, no, I'm serious. You actually funny, bro. You could do it, bro. I'm telling you right now, man, if you make a Facebook page, I'll be the first one following." So I was like, "Okay." Came home, whatever, you know what I'm saying, blah, blah, blah. Did a little Facebook page, whatever. I sent out a couple little invites. The first person who followed me was Charles. He was the first person who followed me, Charles. And so with that being said, you know, Charles the one that actually got me doing these skits and actually being a comedian. I didn't even call myself Comedian Victor Baker or Official Comedian. I didn't name myself. Charles said I could do it, but actually Facebook gave me that name, Facebook. So I ran with it. I'm like, "Okay, well, shit, I'm making people laugh. I can do this. All right, cool." So it's my name. So you know what I mean? This was like in 2016, whatever. You know, I'm doing my little skit, right? So I made my first sports skit, and I'll never forget it. It was the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks skit. And it was a playoff game when Seattle lost. So I made a skit about that. So I made a skit, being a Green Bay Packers fan upset, crying, because, you know, the team lost. So that one skit that I made, my first sports skit, I went from like 200 likes to like 17,000 likes in less than 24 hours. And it was because of that one skit. So ever since then, I just been doing it, whatever. I've been making skits, doing this, doing that. Here, he would share a few of my skits, whatever, and so on and so on. So I'm going to go back to say that, you know, I actually started doing this shit because my mom passed away, whatever, so I'm battling depression, and I got to cover up my depression, right? You know, this is my gift from God to make other people laugh, to save other people's lives, you know what I mean? Because I actually done that. I have a lot of inboxes, emails. I'd actually save people's lives. I'd actually video chat with this, one lady in particular. She had a gun to her neck, or, you know, her head, right here. Yeah, neck, head. She was asking for the kill herself. I had to talk to her as Comedian Victor, not as Victor Baker, as Comedian Victor Baker. So I'm just doing this to actually, you know, save lives. Well, also, I mean, of course, I'm, you know, doing it to try to make money to to take care of my family and everything, but I'm also doing this to save lives, man, because I was one of them that was battling a big time depression. No, and look, as of right now, I still go through depression, but it's not like it was 2012 when I buried my mom, right? So, you know, on Facebook, like Facebook Live right now, I'm actually going through depression, but it got a lot better. I do my skits, and I do this, and I make these posts. I make these memes. I do this and do that to actually kill everybody else. Not me. I'm going to be all right, boss. So this is my calling from God, the upper power, the higher power, whoever you praise, however you praise it. This is my call. So this is why I'm actually steady doing comedy yesterday. This is my reason why I have never stopped. Well, no. I apologize. I stopped once, and I got chewed out. I got chewed out because this is my calling. You know, it's just like the, you know, preachers. I ain't said all preachers, but the preachers who ask to preach the word and ask to preach it for healing. This is, you know, that's their calling. Well, this is my calling. I'm not rich from it, you know, I'm whatever, but this is what God told me to do. God told me to make these kicks, you know, touch a soul, reach out, you know, and I'm not like the other comedians that, you know, that post something and then everybody be on their post, right? Or go live, everybody be on their live, and I don't like, you know, do a heart button or blah, blah, blah. I'm the type of comedian that I always react, always, you know, come in, always chat with the people that's on my coming, my live. That's what I do. I'm not no mainstream, but even when I do make mainstream or Hollywood, as they say, I'm going to be the same. So this is God calling. This is not, I'm not doing this. You know, I don't act a certain way. I ain't gonna get rich or whatever and then just walk around with my finger up and just pass everybody up and on, you know, keep it real as Stan Mason said. I'm always keep it real, but no, this is actually my calling, so this is just what I do. I do this to heal others. Yeah,
well, listen, brother, in healing others, you heal yourself.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, hey, look, first thing first, you know, I got to heal myself, so I have to say that because you're right. In order to heal others, you got to heal yourself, you know. So I'm pretty much healed, but I'm still battling a little bit, but I'm healed enough to save others. I'm going to be okay because as long as everybody else okay, it makes me okay.
But you know what's real good?
Hey, man, what's in that glass, man? Come on, man. Tell the truth.
He's been
sipping out.
Kool-Aid.
They said when you tried out for the football team, they just stuck the team logo on the side of your head to get in the game.
Get him.
Oh, no, man.
John, I told him last night.
Here you go.
Come real. Get him, Vic. Get him.
Hey, look.
Let's go, Vic.
John Russell.
Yes, sir.
To answer your question, the size hat that I go, you know, that go on my head is the same belt weight to go around your waist.
Ooh.
I'm just saying, that's the same time.
You know what, though?
So basically, I'm saying this. Whatever size hat that go on my head, all depends on your waist.
Hey, Vic, you got to drive a convertible.
Drive
a convertible.
Oh, shit. You're going to make that. Much love, God.
Hey,
no, I got you, man. You my man. I like you.
Hey, but I gotta say this, bro.
Before the show, when the show ends, I make you get you booked down here to a couple of show comedy clubs.
That's what's up. See, that's the next.
You guys exchange information.
Yeah, I'll make sure y'all get it. Vic, and I'm going to tell you, bro, you know, I share a lot of me. I don't do a Will and Jada everything about me, but, you know, I've called you up to 2:30 in the morning. Some days when I get my moments and I'm not the happiest I can be. And you know, you always made time. I never get the answer machine. You may say, bro, let me call you back in about 10 minutes. But you make time for me, you know. And we'll talk about everything from, man, you know, I had a bad day the other day. Well, my day wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. But, man, you put this video up, and, man, I was laughing, and especially football season. You know, I mean, you go back with me 6 years. When all of this started, when all of this very first started, you were there always, and you remained there in my corner. And a lot of people say, well, I never heard you talk about it because my business is not for everybody to know. But I could always call you, and you always knew what to say to me, that maybe the next show only came because I talked to you. You know, and you always told me, don't give up. You're speaking the truth. I stand up there and have to talk to people. Maybe they like me, maybe they don't. And I said, Vic, I don't know how to speak to these people, social media. I don't know all this. And you said, just keep doing what you're doing. You told me that 5 years ago. Keep doing what you're doing. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be on here every week in front of people. But when people see this show and Joe and John, they wonder, how did all these personalities come together? You're not going to see Victor Baker's name anywhere in this show. What made this show up? Why this show stays 100? Why it stays real? Why we do what we do? From me, Victor Baker has a lot to do with what people see every Saturday. It may not always be comedic, but in every comedy skit is a grain of truth. Now, we can laugh off everything, but sometimes we have to focus on the truth and build from that truth. We can laugh off Jada and Will. We can pick it into the ground. But at the end of the day, we take from their personal thing that they got to struggle with that. How does it impact us, and how do we take what happened there? Because all of us, that's why I can't condemn Will Smith. I don't agree with him. I don't like what he did. Because Stan has been Will Smith on a smaller level. At some point in my life, I have been Will Smith. I may not have slapped somebody, but I have gone out and done things that may put my wife in a position of embarrassment, not knowing that I did it, and not ever giving it any thought. So I'm not here. I didn't want to do the show to beat up Will or Jada. But let's vent to how we all personally feel about it, but then take those personal feelings that we're venting about and say, for me personally, how do I guard myself so that I learn from Will and I don't have a Will moment? I may not ever make national media with it. How do I do that? You know, and brother, I mean, this show is a difficult show. But you, and I called you, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm there. I got it. You didn't beat around. It wasn't a 3 or 4 calls, call me back, text me. You stepped up, bro. And that's 100. You know, and one thing you know with me, and you know personally, I'm right. When I tell people I'm right or die, I am. If I'm in your corner, I'm there. I don't need to be in your face. I just need to be in your corner. And you've been in the corner of this show and me for 6 years, bro. So I'm going to publicly tell everybody how I feel about you and the respect I have about you. I don't care who like you, don't like you. That don't matter to me. Just don't bring it here because you're going to meet some resistance over here. That's just the way it is. And for you to come in here today as a comedian and as a black man and to be as transparent and honest as you were, dude, that speaks volumes to me. It doesn't have to tell me what kind of man you are. and basically reassures me that with the people I have around me, I'm on point. So I want to personally put that out to you, bro, and thank you. And not just you, but a lot of your followers follow me because of you. Not because of me, because of you. And that's 100, bro.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
All right, final thoughts. 13 minutes. Big John.
Yes. First of all, I want to say that you have one of the toughest jobs in the world because you're talking about, as you mentioned, depression. You're talking about anger. You're talking about all the ills of the world. And you go out on a stage by yourself. There's no band with you. There's no backup singers. It's just you and everybody that's watching you, not just at that show, because you know there's people that's watching at home, and you're touching the hearts and lives of all types of people, and you're special because not too many people have the courage to do what you do, to get out there and say, you know what, if this joke don't work, I'll get them with the next one, or I'll get them with the next one. And it's tough doing what you do. And I salute you. With all that set aside, what I said earlier about you, you're a real good dude, and I hope you come back to the show.
Are you sure?
And when you close, please, if you could share any experience that if you ever bombed and how you felt after you bombed at that show, like damn, man, it wasn't my best. If you could speak to that at the end when you get ready to speak, I would love to hear that story. And my closing remarks to you is, how do you hold it together, right? Knowing that you're banned from sitting in the first three rows of any movie theater because the people can't see the screen that's sitting behind you.
Oh, shit. I already know you're coming so good.
How does it make you feel as a comedian knowing that for the first three rows they can't see the screen because you sitting in front of
Hey, I don't know, bro. Hey, look, bro, shit. Hey, they got to pay more money to get that front row because, shit, if my big ass is... God damn it, I'm
blocking
everything.
I
already know, brother. You better know it.
Come on, Joe.
Well, I don't know if I can follow that, but I definitely got some shots for you. But we'll hold off for that. But one thing Jeff said, and I agree with not the front row thing, is, you know, it's, believe it or not, policemen, by and large, are afraid of public speaking. You may not believe that. But for what you do, that's a special skill set, and I said that earlier. For you to get up in front of an audience in a room of people you don't know and divest yourself and tell stories about yourself and relate to them, that's a hell of a call. And for that, I give you, I salute you. Because all I can do is get up there and talk about John's slim self and, you know, the fact that he looks like Kool-Aid with that old hamburger hamper outfit on. But, you know, I'm getting him lit. But, again, man, I appreciate you taking the time to come out on here. But, again, the one thing I will say to you is that it is a calling what you have, and everybody can't do it. If everybody could do it, it wouldn't be what it is. And I look back at some of the greats, Red Fox, Miles Mabley, Richard Pryor. I mean, some of the stuff that he said, can you imagine if people got up and started fighting him or trying to fight him? First off, we weren't going to get to the stage. Let's just be clear about that. But all these guys, Red Fox used to insult the shit out of people. Don Rickles, Jesus. So we've got to take the bull by the horn on this issue, and our guy, and I won't even call his name, he's got to take responsibility for his actions.
Well, I'm just going to leave out You know, brother, I respect you so much that I want to do something for you in light of all the stuff. You know, you may never get an Oscar from the world, but you get one from me. And what happened at the Oscars impacts you. So I wanted to give something to you that's from me of appreciation and letting you know I understand how you feel. So and don't nobody check out till it's over. So we're not going to click out and leave blank screens. We're going to hear this out. I'm going to make sure it's in there in the final edit because that's me to you, man, of what you're going through right now, and you're still fighting the fight. And it's just me letting you know I appreciate you. And the audio wouldn't do it right, but that's how I feel, bro. And with that, we're going to get out. I want to thank everybody, Facebook, everybody that tuned in. Vic, thanks again, brother. You be safe down there. Holler at me anytime you need me.
Yes, sir.
All right, and we're out. Everybody have a good day.
All right. Hey, Vic, make sure you change the name on your...
Bye, Jazzy.
We got a free bet, dude.
It's already changed.
And I'm sending her Instagram.
Oh,
you thought we were going to let you go?
You are right. Still on, I'm
hey, Chris.
Yo.
Before we go to, I just wanted to tell you the good thing about what happened up here with you. Your hairline is starting to catch up to it, so it's gonna.
Oh, that's all right, brother. You know what, though? You know what? But see, John, I can't have my feelings hurt. I can't go jade on you. You know why? Because see, God is good. I've been ugly 60 years. I'm used to it. It ain't nothing surprising to me. You know, I use my mirror to shade, but I say this to you. For all those folks that might laugh at what you just said, that's why you got filters on your phone right now. Ha-ha, that part.
Yeah, when you go to Halloween, you don't put on a costume either.
All right, Joe. Now, when you got your turtleneck on your ankles.
That's called a turtleneck. You can't wear one.
That's called an ankle neck. I wear hoodies, brother, like real men. Real men wear hoodies. Bam!
Yeah, right.
Bam!
That's great. Okay, go ahead real quick. Hey, when you go to the clothing store, do they make you buy this shirt that you try to put on your head?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Hey, look. Hey, John,
they do damage,
and I pay extra, I damage the motherfucker.
Hey, look, we getting out, y'all.
Okay, y'all, man.
Thanks, everybody.
Later.
All right, man. All right, y'all.
Later. All right.